And you know, I got to be honest with you. I have a message prepared titled In the Wilderness. But as I was preparing this morning, I believe the Lord gave me a different direction. So if we get to the message, that'll be great. And if not, I'm going to share just what God's put on my heart. And Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. Your word is holy. Your word is what changes lives. As we couple it with faith. And the reason is because your word is alive. Jesus, you describe yourself as in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Jesus, as we read the Word, your Word, we really fellowship with you. We hear from you. And Lord, again, we ask that you would open our hearts. All of us are so different. And yet only you can reach us where we're at. I might share something that might not be exactly fitting for an individual, but because of your word that goes forth, your spirit will minister something to the heart of the listener. And I know that your spirit is here at work, working among us. I sense your presence so strong, and I'm so thankful. And so, God, I ask that through your word and by your spirit, and through your servant, you would minister what would be fitting for each individual and also for us as a group. We love you and we thank you for your great love. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. 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 This is the account of the feeding of the 4,000. A miraculous event that took place. But it's quite interesting, the details of it. Really, Jesus, he begins by pointing out there's an issue, there's a problem. And he has a heart to fix the problem. And so we begin in verse 1. He says that as Mark, in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him. And he said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their houses, they will faint on the way. There's the problem. For some of them have come far from far away. So think about this. Jesus had been ministering to this multitude of people. Tons of people by this time were following Jesus from all over. And so for 3 days, he was investing in them the things of the kingdom of God, just pouring into them. Wouldn't you have loved to be there? Man, I would have loved to be there. A three-day weekend, I don't know what day of the week it was, but seminar with Jesus. And then it's not just you. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of people. Matthew tells us that there was 4,000, not including the women and children. And so here he's teaching and teaching and teaching. And they're just receiving and being blessed. And then the scripture reveals something about the heart of Jesus, the beautiful heart of Jesus. He's got a heart of compassion. I love to hear that about God. Amen. That blesses me because I need the compassion of God in my life. I know you feel the same way. And that's because I'm flawed. I'm imperfect. I blow it. I blow it from time to time. So like from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed, from time to time. I'm blowing it here, blowing it there. And it's great to know that Jesus is compassionate. Not to make light of sin, not to make light of our faults and failures. But we do, we blow it. And I thank him that he's compassionate and he's merciful. And I love to hear that he's compassionate and that he takes pity on me, he takes pity on you, he takes pity on us. And he wants to help us, even in spite of the way we are. And he knows our frame. He knows that we're just but dust. And that blesses me that he's compassionate. Specifically, he felt for the multitude. He says, hey, here's the problem. They've been with me for 3 days. I've been teaching them. They've been seeking me. And now, if I send them away, they have nothing to eat. Some of them have come from a long journey. And I shouldn't say I'm afraid, because what's really Jesus afraid of? But I know that some of them will faint on the way. I don't want that to happen to them. And so he presents the problem to his disciples, and he says, it's almost as if he's saying, hey guys, I want you to help. Here's a problem. I want you to be a solution to the problem. You know, Jesus had a burden, so to speak, a heart to help. And he invites his disciples to be a part of the solution. And how do they respond? It's almost as if they say, what do you want me to do? What do you want us to do? The disciples, verse 4, answered him, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? How are we going to get enough to feed them here in the wilderness? There's nothing here. What do you want us to do? And then Jesus asks a question. And I think it's a question that is so relevant for us today. I'm going to rephrase it. But he asks this question. How many loaves do you have? It's almost as if he's saying, well, what do you got? What do you have to give? Here's the problem. I want you to help. They say, how can we help? And he says, well, what do you have? And so they said, seven. We have seven loaves. And so he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves. He gave thanks, broke them, and then he gave them to his disciples to set before them. And they set them before the multitude. In verse 7, they also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he set them also before them. And so they ate, were filled, and they took up seven large baskets of leftover fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Amazing. Jesus, he takes the little that they have. It was definitely insufficient. And then he gives thanks, and then he gives it to them, for them to put in front of the multitudes. I wonder what was going through the disciples' mind. Now, you may be thinking, well, they already experienced this just a few chapters ago. This happened in the 33rd year of Jesus' life, exactly when he fed the 5,000. We're not quite sure, but the feeding of the 5,000 happened in that same year. You would think they would remember. I can only say for myself that if something so profound like that happened, I don't think I could ever forget. And I'm not quite sure why they forgot. It seems as if they forgot. To me, it just seems as if they would say, oh, I remember what Jesus did. This is going to be great. Can't wait for them to see. But no, they don't do that. They look at the problem, and they don't remember. It seems like they don't remember who they're with, what Jesus can do. Let me ask you, though, does that sound like any of us? I mean, before I come down hard on the disciples, I got to think to myself, man, how many times has it been when Jesus has done the miraculous in my life, in my past? Yes. With the times where there was problems, there was no way that I could meet the problem, and I had no idea, and then or how to fix the problem, and I cried out to Jesus, and Jesus helped me. It seems like that's happened over and over again. And it's so funny because I've realized a pattern in my life that in 2 or 3 weeks from now, I'll find myself challenged by another problem, and it's like I forget everything he's done in the past. Oh, God. Lord, I can't believe I'm in this situation. What am I going to do? God, help me. I'm scared. God, I'm worried. God, it's as if I forgot all the 24 years of history. I hate that about myself. It's getting better, though. It is getting better. And what I mean by that is that sometimes those seasons, it seems like it took a long time before God came through. I was concerned the whole time. And then after, it's like, I shouldn't have been worried. Now I feel more like, well, you know what? I got to remind myself of times past where Jesus came through. And he always does. No matter what the situation is. Oftentimes, also what I've learned is he doesn't change the situation. But a change does take place. But it's usually inside of me. And when I look back and I think about the growth that's taken place, I think, you know what? It seems as if the growth is more valuable to me than what I wanted him to do initially. He did do. It was different than what I thought. But what he did was better. How many of you can say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Why don't you just thank the Lord for the times he's been merciful? Yeah. So oftentimes that is a true experience. We forget what God has done. Well, I wonder what that looked like. What do I mean? Well, what did it look like? Jesus took the 7 loaves. What were the disciples thinking? Were they even thinking, oh, yeah, I remember? I wonder. It's somewhat of a mystery. We just don't know. The scripture doesn't tell us. But one thing is he took the loaves, he commanded the people to sit down, and then he takes the loaves, he gives thanks, and then he breaks it, and he starts giving it to the disciples. They had to exercise faith, didn't they?
Yes.
Once again, God called them to act on faith. Because humanly speaking, it didn't make any sense. It was like, huh? But they did it. They put their feelings aside, and they began to act in faith. And you know what? Faith needs to, real faith is obedient faith. That's real faith. I mean, real faith is action, and it obeys the commands of Jesus. But I wonder how that happened and what was going on between point A to point B in their minds. Jesus prays, thanks God, the Father, takes the bread, breaks it, and gives it to them. What would you do? All right, so now you got a piece of bread. All right, thank you. Okay, there's maybe a couple few hundred people here. And if you divide 12 into 4,000, that gives you about 333 people. So here, you are in charge of 333 people. Think about the undertaking. What was going through? And at what point did the miracle take place? It must have took place, I don't know, in their hand. I don't know. He broke it. And then gave it to them, and they came, and they gave it, and then came back, grabbed some more. He broke it, and it just probably went on. This didn't happen in 10 minutes. This was a massive undertaking. So it happened over a period of time. But as they acted in faith, and they became a solution to the problem, not that Jesus needed them, but when Jesus invites us to be a part of the solution, I think that that's an honorable invitation. And how, you go ahead and clap. That doesn't offend me. I think it blesses the Lord. And so when he calls us to be a part of the solution and we act in faith, you know, we may not see the immediate results, but when we start moving in faith, that's when it's the miracles happen. That's when, and I'm not one of those health and wealth and prosperity and miracle working kind of, I'm just sharing the scriptures. And I believe that we see God do the impossible when we act in obedient faith as we do or give the little that we have for his purposes. And so, this is simply the message. The message is simply this. Are you willing, number one, to be a part of the solutions? You know, because Jesus has a heart of compassion. He cares about people's practical needs. He cares about people's spiritual well-being. He fed them both ways, didn't he? And then he also wants to do works. He wants to reach people. And the amazing thing is that he wants to use people like you and me. I'm so happy that the disciples were the most ordinary people you could find. You know, the Pharisees said this about the disciples in the book of Acts, that they realized that these guys were untrained and uneducated men. They were ordinary people. Most of them, if not all of them, were fishermen. Most of them were fishermen. And then tax collector, shady character. You know those tax collectors. If you're a tax collector, there's mercy for you. But they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus, and that was the power. And so anyway, I just love to see God use ordinary people. Disciples, people that when God calls them and includes them to be a part of the solution, at first they might even be resistant. How is this going to happen? How? I can't see it. I don't see it. Well, let me ask you, for those of us at times when we can't see it, should we limit what God wants to do because we can't see it? I thank God that God stretches our capacity, our limits, doesn't he? Sometimes he'll stretch us. We'll feel like, I don't see it. God says, all right, I'll fix you. And then he does the miraculous, and he doesn't say, you know what? You know what, David? Your attitude stinks. I can't use you. You're a complainer. You don't get it. I don't see that. Sometimes you might have said to the disciples, how long do I got to put up with you? In this same chapter, he's going to say, you still don't get it? But he doesn't say, you know, get out. And I thank him for that. I thank God that he uses ordinary people. That gives me great hope. But there are a lot of problems out there. And one thing is we don't want to be a part of the problem. God wants to work. And he'll work with us as long as we're willing, even if we have our issues and our complaints, if we're willing to obey him when he says, here, take the bread. Don't worry about these details. You take the bread. And you just go ahead and you hand it out. You got your concerns. You got your lack of resources. But I'm working here. And you just trust me. And you just take and make those steps of faith. And you'll see how I work. And so the next question is are you willing? Are you willing to just give the little that you have to be a part of the solution? You know, Jesus, he had a huge goal, or not goal, a huge, what was it? Commission, yes, but there was a huge need to meet, a huge need to meet. To him, it was nothing. To them, it was massive. And so he says, well, what do you have? What can you contribute? And they said, 7 loaves. You know, I love how the number 7, you know what 7 means, right? In biblical numerology, it means the number of completion. 7 days in a week. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. 7 notes in the major scale. And they didn't have what it took to meet the need, but what they did have, they needed to give it completely over to Jesus. And when they gave what they had completely over to Jesus, and it even says even a few fish, they gave that too. And Jesus, he did great work and allowed them to be a part of it. All right, in closing, God wants to do a great work. There's still so much need, isn't there? There's need here. There's need out there. I don't know the needs that Jesus is exposing you to. Maybe some of you here, you are being impressed by the Spirit of God that there are some needs. Maybe it's in the home, it's in the workplace. God wants to do a work. He wants to reach people. He wants to help people. And he's asking some of you, I believe he asks all of us, what can you contribute? There's problems. Don't need you to be a part of the problem. I need you to be a part of the solution. What do you have to be a part of the solution? For some of you, it might be as simple as something, and because I'm a pastor, certainly I'm going to relate it this way. There's a need for teachers, good, mature Christians who can teach the little lambs. I wasn't even thinking that. So if any of you are thinking, that's what he's getting at, no, don't think that way. Because that's not how I was thinking. But the thought does come to my mind, and there's a need, and God is putting it, perhaps working in your heart, or he's going to start. Watch. Watch what happens in the next couple, few weeks, months, now with some of you. There's going to be that God working, hey, here's an opportunity. And you say, well, what can I do? I can't do anything. I can't meet the need. I'm not a teacher. I'm not. What do you got? Are you willing to just give what you have? You know what? God doesn't need much to do much. You just give him the little that you have, and you'll see what great things he could do in and through your life. And so the real question in closing is, can God use you to be a part of the solutions? Are you willing to make yourself available, not half-hearted, but completely? And if you are, then you'll see how God will use you. You make yourself available. For whatever it is, inside, outside, I'm not your Lord. I'm just a shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's the one who sends the signals, who directs. He is the director of our lives. He's the master. But if you are willing, then I want you, the Lord put this song in my heart this morning, and I'm just going to share it with you, and then I want you to respond, not to me, but to the Lord. I can't do anything. The Lord can do great things. That's right. With the little that you and I have, he can do great things. I've seen it over and over and over. I've seen God do great things with very little, meager. I have meager things to give, but he's willing to take it. So here it is. Here's a song. If you can do anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Take my life, take all of me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Look, I don't even sing all that great, but I'm willing to let him use it. Can you join me? If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Take my life, Lord, take all of me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you believe that, I want you to get up out of your chair, and I want you to come here. If you want to be used by God, you get up right out of your chair right now, and you come on up here, and let's sing. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Amen. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Take my life, take all of me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Let's sing that again. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Take my life, take all of me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. And Lord, here we stand. Let's all just pray. He can make sense of it all. Lord, here we stand to honor you, to thank you. You can go ahead and just raise your prayers to the Lord. Use us. Use me, Lord. Use me, God. Lord, I don't have much to give, but I just give myself completely to you. Lord, I want to be a part of the solution.
Yes.
I don't want to be a part of problems, Lord. Lord, change my attitudes, change my doubts. Lord, change the way I think that goes against, that resists your work, God. And help me, Lord, help me to grow. Lord, you've done so many things and it's been awesome, but I don't want to just stay here. I don't want to stale Christian experience. I don't want complacency, lukewarmness. No, Lord, I know you've called us for more than that. Your word tells us that we were created in you, Jesus, for good works that you have ordained before the foundations of the world. And you have ordained that we should walk in them. And Lord, we don't want to miss out on any good thing that you've ordained for our lives. So change us. Change us. And we give ourselves to you completely, Lord. Use us for your glory. Use us for your honor. And Lord, I thank you for all my brothers and sisters and just their heart's desire. Great examples to me. I pray you bless them. Lord, you know personally what's going on in each of their lives. I pray, God, that you would encourage them, strengthen them, and help them to overcome their own struggles, their own concerns, their own worries. And when you call to act, Lord, I pray you give them the strength to obey, believing that you are going to meet the needs and solve those problems. And Lord, these things we ask and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.